This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is a radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. Okay, we've got a lot of things going on. it's kind of interesting. I'm playing around with the schedule of events today because there are some things going on with the President of the United States and, of course, the President and all the different things that he's doing out there. And we're going to try and we may chime in on I haven't even checked, and I need to check. We are watching and monitoring, or we were previously anyway. Let's see if we still got it going on. We should still actually see it going on. It's not. Where did it go? It disappeared on me off of YouTube. Anyway, the whole notion of what is actually happening with the President of the United States. The President of the United States, of course, is let's go to the website here. I'll go to our own very website because we did post all this stuff earlier to see what is going on, if, in fact, where the president is, what's happening. This is supposed to by The Sun. Of course, Sun TV is really affiliated with Fox News. The UK state visit is live, they say, and we're monitoring that right now, so we might be chiming in like we did in the first segment. And right now they seem to be at an airbase. That's all we can see right here. This is supposedly the live version of it. I don't know what they're doing. They say it's live. It's not live. It cannot be live. This has got to be redone. This is, let's see if we can, yep, it's not live. But this is, I'll play a little bit for you here so you can kind of get the feel for it. This is the helicopters, apparently, that are coming in. Let's see if we can pick up some of this stuff. Marching men, you know, and their big bouffant, whatever those things are called. We're going to have to figure that one out.
That's why I'm pleased to announce.
Well, whatever that is, that's part of not the audio we were looking for. Somebody who's pleased to announce, right? We love people that are pleased to announce. Anyway, so we got this whole thing going on here with the people marching in, the King's Guards and all this stuff, the Royal Guards, I guess you can say. It's kind of interesting to watch this whole thing play out with these different types of very garish uniforms. And, of course, what's interesting is you do have the police now with armed to the teeth with their AR-15s. Shocking! They look like they got 60-round magazines on them, by the way. Would that just unsettle everybody in California? Huh? Would it just unsettle everybody in California? It absolutely would. Anyway, I mean, talking about the legislator, but the California people, yeah, give me that 60-round mag. Give me that barrel. Anyway, so, yeah, the machine guns are out for security reasons, obviously, what's going on over there. So, anyway, we're going to catch up on the latest with what we can catch up with.
Much more.
And see what goes on with this is apparently coming from Fox News, from what we can see. So we're going to monitor that as we go through the whole day. They landed, the president and the queen met, and it was, of course, the first lady looked absolutely spectacular, representing the United States of America. Very, very, the whole thing was, I was impressed. I mean, these kind of things really do impress. They really do. I am not much of the royalty monarch business, you know. I'm just not, never have been. I kind of understand why people might be fascinated by it, you know, but what is it really? You know, I mean, and again, monarchies, we're talking about this in the last hour, monarchies are a dying thing, except in Hawaii where they wanted to resurrect it. We talked about that. I just have kind of strange feelings about the monarchy in Hawaii. Well, let's take a little dip. Because we got some things to talk about with the Authority to Act and things like that that are going on right now as we speak out there. Yeah, Authority to Act, that's kind of an interesting little notion that in some places the laws are written, like the United States of America, that the president has certain authorities, and we're going to be talking about those. We know about the Insurrection Act, but other ways in which you know, everybody can act is or react is another thing altogether. We're going to be talking about that. But what about Hawaii, the Hawaiian monarchy business? We might as well just get it out there, right? The Hawaiian monarchy. Hawaii's got a great history, by the way. Let's go Hawaiian history. I meant to get this all queued up beforehand, but I got sidetracked. Sorry. Here we go. Because I want to do this right, you know, because it's not, so people understand the lineage. And you got to remember something. Hawaii is the last state to join the Union, number 50, right? Number 50. It says Hawaii genealogy records, Hawaii, history of Hawaii, Wikipedia. Let's try that one. Let's see what we got here. Further information out on Hawaii and Hawaiian history. It says, the history of Hawaii describes the era of human settlements in the Hawaiian Islands. The history begins sometime between 124 to 1120 AD, when the islands were first settled by the Polynesians. Hawaiian civilization was isolated from the rest of the world for at least 500 years. Now, this has led to, I think, one of the world's greatest genetic experiments, by the way. Yeah, I mean, see, you got the biology here, right? You got the biologist and, you know, geneticist guy, part of me, now kicking in. See, because when you have populations, see, to me, when you have populations isolated for so long, you've got to have some, you know, genetic, and you're limited population, then basically you have a lot of people that are reproducing with one another over generation. So that really kind of mumble jumbles the genetic signaling and messages and the genetic content of everybody. The gene pool gets disrupted, right? The gene pool gets disrupted. So Europeans led by British explorer James Cook arrived in the Hawaiian Islands in 1778. However, some researchers state that Spanish captain Ray Lopez de Villalobos to be the first discoverer of the islands in 1542. Within 5 years, European military technology helped Kamehameha conquer and unify the islands for the first time, establishing the Kingdom of Hawaii. Within, listen to this. This is the Cook thing. This is kind of written wrong. My understanding is James Cook is the guy who, and I do believe that Villalobos probably was the first discoverer. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, did the Vikings come over America first or was it Christopher Colomb? You know, that sort of thing. That sort of debate. But within 5 years, European military technology helped Kamehameha, King Kamehameha, conquer. That's King Kamehameha I, conquer and unify the islands for the first time. It's kind of like Hitler. Don't want to make the comparison to Kamehameha, but Hitler unified Germany. Ah, Germany's a very young nation. Check it out. Check out the history of Germany and the Germanic lands and unification, all that. The kingdom was prosperous and important for its agriculture and strategic location in the Pacific. Mm-hmm. Pearl Harbor, anybody? And, of course, the Chinese invasion right now of all the islands, including Hawaii. American immigration began almost immediately after European contact, led by Protestant missionaries. Okay, I'll stop there. Nothing else to be said, right? We'll be back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Calusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
Oh.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. We're talking about the history of Hawaii. Listen, I have diverted a little bit from the script I had today. We're still monitoring what's going on with Donald Trump. He's visiting the monarchy, where this is all prompted. We'll see what Fox News is doing here, if they're broadcasting anything relative live now. Let's see if they've got the live thing going on yet. Probably not. My guess is it's not live to you and me. Oh, it is. Okay, well, we're going to have to see what's going on here. President Trump, First Lady arrive at Westminster Abbey for wreath laying. All right. We're going to kind of monitor this. But in the meantime, we've got Hawaii to talk about. It's kind of interesting with Hawaii. The monarchy exists. And we were talking about this in the first time. That's why I brought it up now. Is King Kamehameha is where it all started. After they found out that they could use European technology, James Cook brought it. European military technology could be utilized, and it was, and it has been quite a boom, if you will. Let's chime in, see what they got.
And I don't think he needs to do much more than to be there. But right. I think, you know, if you were in my house, I'd want somebody to be looking after you all the time to make you feel that you're being properly looked after.
Yeah,
and that's really what he's doing.
Real experts are showing the president and his wife around. But also tomorrow, Prince Andrew will be back with the president tomorrow morning for that business breakfast alongside Theresa May. So we will again see
that's quite
Andrew.
Important, I'm guessing. I know he's here
with the pompous
circumstances of the president, but also...
First Lady looks stunning.
Business breakfast at St. James's Palace, is there not?
Donald,
absolutely.
Not so much.
I mean,
by comparison, she's outshining him.
Normal, and I think that they would have this kind of business, high-level business dialogue. And both sides, I think, are looking for opportunities to expand our economic relationship post-Brexit, whether it takes the shape of a free trade agreement or just expanded ties to increase what are already very strong ties. So tomorrow will be an opportunity for the Prime Minister and for the President to hear from business leaders. I'm sure they will express concerns about Brexit and be urging both sides to reach an agreement quickly afterwards.
Those statues you can see in the background are of all the great Victorian Prime Ministers like Disraeli, Gladstone, Castlereagh, who was, of course, Foreign Secretary. And if you walk around there, you get a sense of the attitude of the United Kingdom at that time to its history and where it was in the world. In a way, I don't think we're going to see a number of those statues replaced by more recent statesmen who've led the United Kingdom. But then that's a different national attitude. And again, this building plays out and gives you a sense of how, first of all, England, and then when the United Kingdom was created in 1701, how those moments of national story have been marked in this building. The president's getting all of that now.
Talking about different national attitude, likely to be a bit of a demonstration tomorrow.
There is, and actually seeing the president's motorcade leaving Buckingham Palace, it struck me that actually that is the closest that most members of the public are really going to get to the president during this short visit here to the UK. It's been fairly quiet outside of the palace, I have to say. Seeing as they are so close to where Trump and his wife have been. But I think tomorrow is probably the big day where we are likely to see more of those protests, that large balloon, the effigy yeah. of President Trump, once yeah. again in the skies
the baby
above
balloon.
London.
Yeah. How's he going to take protests?
Well, I know it's interesting today, actually, the most vocal group out here was pro-Trump and, yeah. and chanting USA and waving American flags and cheering
pro
on the
Trump.
President. So I suspect tomorrow will
USA.
Be different. But I think he will go with the flow, and I think he will whisk by in his motorcade and probably not be too concerned about it.
But he is quite thin-skinned, as we know.
He's thin-skinned, and I expect there'll be some reaction on his part, some tweets about it. But hopefully he will enjoy the nice parts of this day and the ceremonial aspects of it and not go down that road of attacking the protesters. Mm.
And he's having supper tomorrow night at Winfield House. He's hosting tomorrow, isn't he?
He is hosting, and we don't entirely know who is on the guest list. We know
Charles.
That, once again, Prince Charles and Duchess of Cornwall will be attending that dinner on behalf of the Queen. It's obviously a very busy week for the 93-year-old monarch already, so I think it's only right that her son should attend that evening dinner. But again, I think when you look at the optics of that dinner that we're going to see at Winfield House, it will be fascinating to see who he has decided he wants to get round a table there, who he wants to play host to.
And it's a relatively small dinner. I think dinner tonight is, what, 120 people or so? 170. Yeah. I think dinner tomorrow night is about 60 people. So it'll be a much smaller, much tighter guest list.
Ah. Tell us about Winfield House. It was a field. You get the.
I mean, this is a. All this is a whole thing about.
That's right. And then it was
the monarchy, of course, and the monarchy of England, which of course King George, we escaped from the revolution and all that. But you know, the other kind of a monarchy, and again, I've got this, the split screens going on the iMac. And I've got the history of Hawaii, King Kamehameha, and how the Europeans came in there and taught Kamehameha how to use the military. And, well, he used it to conquer the islands, which, you know, the islands are not that big, but it was a unifying event. And that brought me to the whole the conversation earlier that talk about... Well, the blue bloods, as they'd say. Well, you're talking about the monarchies, you know, the various things of the monarchs and the monarchical system of Europe. They had limited population. So if you have limited population, that means you have a limited gene pool. And, of course, the genetic thing just has to be squeezed right out of me. But the gene pool in Hawaii became incredibly limited over a 500-year period, because the Polynesians first settled, and everybody who first settled in there for the first 500 years, all they did was reproduce with one another. It's called consanguinity. When you get a limited number of genes in a gene pool, and of course it's geographic isolationism, as they refer to it as. And this happens a lot. You know, you have a Tay-Sachs disease, as an example, which is a disease that's only considered amongst a population of Jews known as the Ashkenazi Jews. And there's two types of Tay-Sachs disease. There's juvenile amniotic idiocy, and then there's infantile amniotic idiocy. And I don't want to get into the etiology of these things. But because of the limited gene pool of the Ashkenazi Jews, in which they had geographical isolationism, these types of genetic expressions, of course, were very, very well known. And, of course, even the monarchs of Europe have various types of conditions as well that led to that, because you reproduce within a limited gene pool. At least that's the way it always was with the monarchs, and of course now they've actually started to spread that out a little bit. But the thing about the missionaries is what's quite fascinating. And we're going to get into this. I'm going to play a little bit of this or talk about it. American immigration began shortly after Cook after 1778. It was led by Protestant missionaries, and Americans set up plantations to grow sugar. Their methods of plantation farming required substantial labor, and waves of permanent immigrants came from Japan, China, and the Philippines to work in the fields. There's this immigration business again, right? Well, they're saying a little prayer right now, the First Lady, and at the Abbey, Westminster Abbey, just sort of, you know, got to get that Protestant business going on. It says the government of Japan organized and gave special protection to its people, who comprised about 25% of the Hawaiian population by 1896. Wow. So the influence of Japan, 1896. Ah, here we go. In the next paragraph, they speak about the native population succumbed to disease brought by the Europeans, particularly smallpox. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
So, the former Secretary of State had an unauthorized server, those are your words, in her basement, correct?
Correct.
Who was protecting that information? Who was protecting that server?
Well, not much.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, 821r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. Excuse me, we must have some Agenda 21 Radio coffee. We're going to be in the background. We're listening to a bunch of stuff. And some of that stuff includes what's happening at Fox News, right? And Fox News is talking right now, giving us a little bit of a briefing on what is going on with Donald Trump and others, as he is touring Westminster Abbey. They just had a prayer at the Abbey, which was interesting. Very short prayer. And now we've got other things going on, to say the least. Anyway, so we got this going on in the background.
About those issues of unity, which we
here
did
we go. Brexit's coming up
to in her Christmas message. So I think the state banquet will certainly be a moment to look out for.
This was earlier, having a look around. You told me the mirrored room, did you say?
Picture gallery.
Picture gallery, forgive me.
In the picture gallery.
And a lot of the things they're looking at are, we've now heard from Buckingham Palace, are items that came from D-Day and from the build-up to D-Day and the involvement of the two nations. And I'm convinced that the Queen will refer to that. Because, of course, she lived through it as a young girl.
So D-Day is obviously a big, big theme going on with this visit to Westminster Abbey. They have a whole bunch of displays out in the Abbey about, you know, important papers and so on that were written up by various leaders and all the different activities about D-Day, World War II, and so on. And it's going to be a special event here. I believe this is the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th, Thursday. Is that right? But look at, help me with my calendar, please. It's going to be, Thursday, and the 75th anniversary of D-Day. I don't know what the president's schedule is for all that, but there's going to be quite a bit of hype and hoopla about that. Okay, I want to get back into the Hawaiian Island thing, because we're doing a comparison here. This is just a show that's evolved. We're doing a comparison between monarchies, and again, how fortunate we are to be creating new California. And now people all around the nation are picking up on this, and including Hawaii. And now we stumbled a lot because the Hawaiian people called us, said, "Can you do New California over here? Because we are in trouble. You know, too many leftist Democrats for you." Well, and of course, Hawaii is really one of the last known monarchies, certainly the last known monarchy influenced with the United States. And it happens to be the last state brought into the Union. So they're... We got that issue going on, right? I think it was 18. Was it 9? Is it the 50th? I think it was. Anyway, Alaska and Hawaii were brought in together. So at the same time. So I could be wrong. I got to go back and check my history books. Anyway, but the interesting thing, though, and we've been talking about this, is the stumbling block of we've had requests as part of this that they want to restore the monarchy in Hawaii, as opposed to, you know, can you modify it and make it a monarchy? I mean, that was a question that was asked of us, like, what? And we're stunned when we're talking about this on the phone call, and I got with my people and I said, did I hear that right? They want to restore a monarchy and they want to use the New California Bath. I said, wait a minute, how can you do such a thing? They're so antithetical to one another, right? But that's what happens. So anyway. But where did that monarchy come from? And I think we pinned it that it was with the exploration of James Cook. And, of course, it says here that in the Wikipedia version of it, it says James Cook arrived in Hawaiian Islands in 1778, and then within 5 years, European military technology helped Kamehameha I conquer and unify the islands for the first time, establishing the Kingdom of Hawaii. Okay, the Kingdom of Hawaii. So we're going to check that one out. It originated in 1795 with the unification of independent islands of Hawaii, Oahu, Maui, Molokai, and Lanai under one government. In 1810, the whole Hawaiian islands became unified when Kauai and Niue joined the Kingdom of Hawaii voluntarily and without bloodshed or war. Two major dynastic families ruled the kingdom, the House of Kamehameha and the House of Kalalukoa. I can't say that. My apologies to the Hawaiians. It says the kingdom won recognition from major European powers, and the United States became its chief trading partner. The United States watched over the kingdom, lest some other powers, such as Britain or Japan, listen to this, threatened to seize control. Hawaii was forced to adopt a new constitution in 1870. In 1887, when King Kalakaua, was threatened with violence by the Honolulu Rifles, a white anti-monarchist militia, to sign it. It says Queen Lili Kalalukoa, Kalani, Queen Lili Ulu Kalani. Yeah, there you go. Ula Kalani. There you go. I got to get my Hawaiian tongue back here. When you go to Hawaii, you pick it up. I mean, it's just like, okay. It says, who succeeded Kalakaua in 1891 tried to abrogate the 1887 Constitution and promulgate a new Constitution, but was overthrown in 1893, largely at the hands of the Committee of Safety. God. A group of residents consisting of Hawaiian subjects and foreign nationals of American, British, and German descent. Hawaii became a republic until the United States annexed it using the new lands resolution, which was a joint resolution passed in July 4th, 1898 by the United States Congress, creating the territory of Hawaii. Aha! Right in the middle of this monarchy, all of a sudden they create a territory, right? With a joint resolution. The new lands resolution is what did it. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that fascinating? It says it gives the monarch from 1795 to 1893, a monarchy existed. Isn't that interesting? It says absolute monarchy until 1840. That's the government. Constitutional monarchy from 1840 on. And then legislature has a House of Nobles. This upper house is a House of Nobles and a House of Representatives. So the nobles are the senators. Wow. Well, you know, when you make these things states, you can call them whatever. You can call your Senate the morons if you want. But senators, please. Or the House morons. Well, this time in the United States, we have the House of Morons. I'm sorry. It's the House of Representatives. Well, we can call them whatever we want, right? So unification of Hawaii in 1810, constitutional monarchy, 18, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so origins of Hawaii, we don't want to get into that stuff, but it's just absolutely fascinating that the last of the monarchy was in Hawaii. And now they want it back. They're talking about it, but they're actually coming back to us and saying, no, we've got these things under control now. We've got a little bit better feel on how we can make new Hawaii a reality. Okay. And follow the new California model to statehood. And they're going to listen to this. They want to follow the rural versus urban argument. Did you know there's a rural Hawaii? Yeah, it's on Oahu. Really? Yeah. That's the urban area. The rest is all rural. That would be the new Hawaii. No monarchy for you, or for me, or anybody else. They've figured that one out. Isn't that just insane to think about that? We'll be back.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We get all these different inputs. Jump over here to see what's going on with moments ago, Russia TV, RT, what they have to say about the whole thing going on. I wish, you know, the Fox thing would. We gotta silence these folks here for a second. And we're gonna switch to guns real quick here by going to our YouTube here. Oh, here we go. Okay. This, I believe, is not it. Ah, here we go. This is Russia TV.
His arrival in the UK in signature Trump style. Once he was in UK airspace, still on Air Force One, he started firing off tweets, and he's reignited his feud with the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan. Take a listen to what the two had to say to each other on Twitter.
Donald Trump is just one of the most egregious examples of a growing global threat, using the same divisive tropes of the fascists of the 20th century to garner support.
Sadiq Khan has been foolishly nasty to the visiting president of the United States, by far the most important ally of the United Kingdom. He is a stone-cold loser who should focus on crime in London and not me.
Boom.
Ouch. Stone cold loser. And of course, he's turning up. This is the city that's hosting him, and that's how he's talking about the mayor of it. Sadiq Khan's spokespeople have already responded, saying that this is much more serious than childish insults, which should be beneath the president of the United States. Now, of course, Sadiq Khan and Donald Trump have had a long-running feud. Trump's criticized Khan for failing to tackle levels of knife crime here in the capital, and Khan's criticized Trump on various policies, including the Muslim travel ban. So already a state visit like no other, and this is just the beginning. There's a sense that this is a trip in terms of the pictures. If you were to watch them on mute, they're likely to be very traditional according to protocol. We saw him landing on Air Force One, being greeted on the red carpet by the UK Foreign Secretary. There'll be lots of pomp and ceremony. This is a UK, a state visit rather. The royals are going to be meeting him, and there'll be a state banquet. But behind the scenes, the tweets he's firing off, the interviews he's giving, and what he's likely to say once he is given a microphone, well, all that tells a very different story. All ahead of the trip, he's already given a couple of interviews on weighing in on domestic issues, for example. He's already spoken about the question of who's going to replace Theresa May as Prime Minister, which is something that his administration said he was.
One of his tweets is, protesting bigly, huge anti-Trump rally expected for UK state visit.
Isn't going to be commenting on, but in true Donald Trump style, he said that Boris Johnson is his favourite to succeed Theresa May. Some see Boris Johnson as Donald Trump's counterpart here in the UK, another blonde bombshell. And he's given an interview criticising Theresa May's approach to the Brexit negotiations as well, in particular that hefty £50 billion exit fee that the UK is meant to pay to the EU. Take a listen to what Trump had to say.
Well, if I were them, I wouldn't pay $50 billion. It's a big number.
And some of these candidates are saying they'd walk away if they don't get what they want. Others are disagreeing. I mean, presumably the way to get a deal...
If they don't get what they want, I'd walk away, yes. I would walk away. If you don't get the deal you want, if you don't get a fair deal, then you walk away.
Oh, that might make conversations with Theresa May at that state banquet later on a little bit more awkward. Today is all about Trump meeting the royals. Right now he's having a rest at the US ambassador's residence. And then it's off to Buckingham Palace to meet the Queen. There'll be lunch with the Queen and Prince Harry. Then a bit more of a rest again at the US.
Okay, but you know, you and I aren't there. Come on. Are we going to have a little rest today at the ambassador's house? But remember, when you woke up today, Donald Trump was your president. And yesterday when you woke up, he was your president. And a year ago, he was your president. And all the time in between. And 2 years ago, he was your president. And tomorrow when you wake up, he'll still be your president. Don't you hate it when this happens? Well, there's a lot of people that are hating. Yes, they don't like this. They don't like an unbridled Donald J. Trump. I mean, really, what can you say? Okay, one of the things, I'm going to try and get this in here, because I'm trying to catch up on the agenda. I kind of blew it. This is Donald Trump talking about Mexico, the tariffs on Mexico, and how that's going to hurt Mexico. And I think it's really important that we get this and understand it. Here we go.
Are you a CPAP user? Do you love your...
Are you? Well, I don't know. Are you a CPAP user? Come on, give me a...
Mexico's National Farm Council says they want to support retaliatory tariffs targeting Republican voting states if the United States and Mexico fail to resolve their border dispute and their dispute over enforcement of laws against illegal immigrants. The farmers president says this would be a last resort if the United States and Mexico can't settle an agreement before 5% tariffs on all Mexican goods go into effect June 10th. Some of the U.S. goods Mexico could target include apples and potatoes and whiskey. Well, our next guest tonight here to talk about why the president's tariffs on Mexico are needed to stop illegal immigration, why the Mexican government will not cooperate. Joining us tonight, the president of the National Border Patrol Council, Brandon Judd. Uh-huh. Brandon, good to have you with us. This is the president's tariffs. He is obviously frustrated. He has been rebuffed by the government of Mexico and President Lopez Obrador for months now. Your reaction?
Oh, well, let's first explain to the American public that President Trump has tried to work with Obrador for months now. This is not something new. This is not a knee-jerk reaction. He has done the diplomatic ties. He's worked with him. He's tried to get him to do the right thing. Obrador refuses to do it. But let's discuss the reason why. You and I both know why, but let's talk with your listeners on the reason, your viewers on the reason why. There is so much money that the Mexican government makes through illegal trafficking of persons and narcotics into the United States that it boosts their economy. They don't want to stop illegal immigration.
Wow. You know, I bet Brandon listens to Agenda 21 Radio. What do you think? The trafficking in human flesh and slavery. Multi-billion dollar. Do I have to spell it? Now, we've got the president and Peter Navarro going, hey, you know, we should be taxing these people. This is a multi-billion dollar industry that's running around the border here, and we're getting nothing, honey. Let's tax the people.
They don't want to stop illegal drugs coming into the United States because they make so much money off of this. The only way that President Trump can get the Mexican government to react is to hit it where it counts, and that's in the pocketbook. And that's exactly what he's doing. Now let's talk about Chuck Grassley.
Well, wait a minute. Whoa. Okay, I appreciate your enthusiasm, Brandon, but let's take it just a little. Let's stay a little structured on this. We're talking about with remittances, that is, Mexican nationals and Central American nationals in this country sending home their money that they have in addition to what they need to live on to their families. That amounts to over $30 billion a year. The illegal drug trade alone, forget what they're making. And as you know, a number of Border Patrol officials now think they're making more money from illegal immigration than from the drug trade, which produces somewhere between $30 and $50 billion a year.
Do you believe that? The trafficking and slavery right in front of your faces. This is what they're making on that side of the border. What are all these relief agencies like Catholic Charities making off of this slave trading on this side of the border? Coming from us, U.S. taxpayers. We need to shut that down. We need to shut that down.
Now, we're not including the deficit that we run with Mexico, but we're talking about $100 billion in trade as well. I mean, the Mexican government is out of its mind to fight the president on this issue because they are going to be devastated if they continue to refuse to enforce the law.
No, absolutely. You hear the economists that they talked about how the sky was falling when Trump, when President Trump implemented tariffs on China. The sky didn't fall. The stock market took a hit in a day, but it bounced right back up. We just took a hit today. You know darn good and well the stock market is going to bounce right back up. Mexico will not be able to withstand these tariffs. It will force them to act. It will force them to do the right thing. And this is why we support President Trump in the direction that he's going. He is going to get this under control, and he's going to force the Mexican government to be a partner in what we're trying to do. We cannot continue to have thousands of people enter the country illegally and get released into the United States, and we can't have thousands of other people that make it across undetected. It's got to stop.
Let's focus on something that the president. This is a very tense situation now. Lopez Obrador saying this today, and if we could have that full screen quote of the Mexican president and his retort to President Trump. There we go. America first, says Lopez Obrador, is a fantasy. Social problems don't
actually
get resolved
fallacy
with duties or coercive measures. Your reaction to that,
that's
response to the president. It's
what he said was America first is a fallacy. That's what President Obrador said. Lou Dobbs kind of screwed that one up.
How condescending is that? How arrogant is that?
Exactly. Who is this monster, Obrador?
That for him to say that America first shouldn't be what President Trump is trying to do, that's exactly what he's doing in Mexico. What is he doing to help the United States? He's taking a Mexico first stance, but then he's calling the kettle's pot, calling the pot black. We just can't do that. We have to look out for what's best for our citizens in this country. And that's what President Trump is trying to do. And if Obrador isn't going to get on board, then we're going to hit him with the sanctions that we need to force him to do what's right.
And Lopez Obrador, Mexico first, he'll be acting in his own interest. And if he is foolish enough not to act in the interest of Mexico, they're going to be devastated because there will be $250 billion ripped out of their economy.
I think that, they say they're sending a contingent of four as early as today to talk it over. Really? And, of course, Trump should walk away and come back with a 10 and a 15 and a 20 and 25% right away and shut these fools down. But then we have to deal with those on this side of the border, the relief agencies that are making billions of dollars. We got to shut that one down. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, 821r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. And you can email me, Paul, at 821r.com. But remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.